Brandon.
Sir.
We are the fucking Do It cast, not the fucking wrestling cast. We are not a wrestling podcast. However,
this is what we're going to talk about.
However,
this is what we're going to talk about.
This entire weekend was full of the wrestling, including our first in a very, 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 very long time away mission together.
That is
true. Brandon Chalmers, last Friday, what day is today? We record this on April 9th.
Tuesday.
What was that Friday? April
5th, I believe.
April 5th, you and I were invited to a professional wrestler's freaking wedding.
Yes. We were very honored. I don't mind saying genuinely surprised, because had you or I not have gotten the invite,
yeah,
and just found out about it after the fact online, I've been like, good for them. That's fucking great.
Yeah.
But no. Once again, random people that we meet thanks to our traveling cavalcade of bullshit become real world friends and long term friends.
Yeah.
For what's going on now, like fucking 8-10 years or something like that. It's something ridiculous.
Yeah, it's been a while.
We've only seen each other in person a couple times, but at the same time, probably the best definition of how a positive interaction in person can really help string together a series of positive interactions online.
Yeah.
That can have you just kind of be like, no, that person, good dude. And just confidently make decisions on what we're going to do. And we did get invited to a internet's own LS underscore Youngblood, as in the lost soul Keith Youngblood, formerly of Northeast Pro Wrestling, and now of the independent scene, a dude that we met through Art Fight during a charity event that we were doing called Dares for Dollars, in which we were doing, essentially, I proposed the idea of doing stupid human tricks for cash.
Oh, this is my favorite story.
So I had done quite a lot of things, and I've been proposing of like, you can slap me in the fucking face. And when we as Art Fight ended up doing a filming of some web episodes at the time, because that was a thing that needed to happen, because it was a different time in the internet. Uncle Al, Alex Kazanis, took me up on it and slapped me right in the fucking mush. And there's great slow-mo footage of that existing online. But just, you know, we were up there in Connecticut doing Kineticon back when Art Fight was so lovingly graced with the idea of doing Kineticon. Back when Kineticon was a more, it's the best way to say this, welcoming environment for webcomics people.
It used to be the webcomics show.
It did used to be the webcomics con. I remember how much the crew of Art Fight and all the ancillary players in Art Fight would get fucking stoked for Kineticon. It was my first real con. Honestly, like, we did an away mission, and my first real away trip with you guys was doing the show for Vitamin Water in Boston, and then cannonballing back,
that
and then
was
doing Kineticon. Right.
Yeah, but that was a trip.
That was my first Art Fight trip, was like, oh, okay, we're going to go to Boston and then go play a show for Vitamin Water, like, right outside of Fenway Park, and then cannonball back from Boston to Hartford, Connecticut to go to Kineticon the rest of the weekend. And then go and fill like a 2,500 seat room and go do all the fun stuff and everything else like that. Back when Art Fight was terribly popular, and back when the internet was a safer place to hang out. So we end up doing this thing called Dares for Dollars. And at the time, there were some rather large gentlemen, not necessarily pro wrestler looking guys. But
they
like,
had chicken arms. They had chicken arms. My arms are bigger than their fucking
arms.
That
is fair, but they were some rather tall and portly gentlemen. So I assume that when they both had lucha masks on and they asked for money, to charity if they could chop, which for those of us not in the know is a term for basically an open hand slap on usually the chest area to create the largest amount of sound humanly possible to get the crowd excited about how hard the hit was. And the ask was to do this of myself, Marty Day, and Ross Nover. And we all lovingly agreed. I think Marty and I took our shirts off. Ross, I weirdly enough, didn't go tarps off if memory serves, which seems kind of counterproductive for Ross, but whatever. The point being is that I took the money from these guys, and as I'm making my way around the room, trying to talk other people into things, a one Keith Youngblood grabs my hand as I'm walking by and goes, "Hey, I don't know who the fuck those two guys are. I'm part of the largest wrestling company in the area. If you want to get chopped, I'll gladly chop you." And I looked at him and I went, "Sold." I pulled 50 bucks out of my own pocket and I threw it in the bin. And I said, "This guy is going to chop me."
Yes.
Because he looked the part.
Oh, for
like he was sure. A bit thinner back then, but like,
yeah,
dude's a big boy. What's he like, 6'5", give or take?
I don't know. Every time I see him, I have to look like this.
Right. Yeah. Like every time you look up. Yeah. If you're curious, Jamie and I took photos at the wedding. You can see it on my Instagram at that guy Chalmers. You can find us there. But Keith's a big dude. He's got long hair and he's got a great look to him, like strong fucking beard. Like, as a dude who's been known to have a relatively strong beard, Keith has got a chiseled fucking beard. Like, the look is on.
Yeah.
And he when he said this to me with confidence, I figured one of two things. One, this is totally factual and this is going to be fucking awesome. Or two, he's full of shit. This is going to break bad and whatever. I donated money to charity.
It's going to be like a story either way.
It's a story either way. Right. And I'm doing it in front of an audience. And that room, I think, had like 1,500 people or something. Like, it was a pretty big room.
Yeah.
So the two guys come up, they chop, whatever. It's a non-fucking thing.
It sounds like this.
Yeah. It wasn't fucking impressive.
Yeah.
Now, Keith comes up. And Keith, like any proper pro wrestler, knows how to command a room. And I got super fucking excited when I saw him start to really command the room, because he started to look around and started to point and like really get the crowd into it. And he had them fucking locked to him.
Yeah.
And I'm tarps off and he quiets them down. And then he puts his hand on my shoulder, right? This would be, let's see. Okay. So he chopped me here on the left. So he put his hand on my right shoulder, right? And he looks at me and he smiles and he takes his hand and goes to the fucking sky. And I swear to God, I know it wasn't true that his hand looked like it was 20 feet in the air, but his hand looked like it was 20 feet in the air. Cause when his hand went up, my head went up. Cause I'm naturally like, I'm going to fucking sell this thing.
Yeah.
So I go up and all I can think is, shit, this is going to hurt a lot. And he comes down. And it's just a fucking massive crack.
Yeah.
And you hear the audience go, "Ooh."
Thunder.
And, right.
Fucking thunder
cracks across the fucking room. And I do my best to try and muscle up and take it like a champ. And I don't think I cringed too much, but I definitely showed some emotion there.
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
It fucking hurt.
Yeah.
And it was loud. God damn, was it loud. And he smiled and he told me I took it like a champ. And immediately afterward, we started following each other on social media. And I posted the photo. And like right afterward, we got done the show. I got back to the hotel. I took my shirt off to go change my shirt. And I could see the handprint on my chest. Individual fingerprint. Like, not the fingerprints, but like finger marks. You could see real estate in between the red marks on my chest. And I was like, holy shit. So we went to dinner with a bunch of friends afterward and they were like, "How you doing?" And I pulled it up and they went, "Oh my God." And like, everybody was a little horrified by how excited I was to be fucking maimed by this pro wrestler.
Dude, fucking dope.
Right. So the next morning, I then post an after shot and it's the same, only it's a much deeper red.
Oh,
now, it never to Keith's credit, it never turned purple or anything. He only broke the blood vessels. This is what a pro knows how to do, is make it look fucking bad.
Yeah.
But I end up immediately the next day posting the photo of the after shot and thanking him. And because I think I thanked him, that was all the more endearing to him that we became.
Yeah.
So that's where the friendship kind of started. We ended up taking an away mission to a Six Flags and saw him wrestle after the fact as part of Northeast Wrestling in New Jersey.
An early Darby Allin before.
Yes. And a very early AEW's own Darby Allin. And just had a really good time. And Josh Briggs, by the way, who's also part of NXT, who was part of their big pay-per-view thing. The guy who was yelling at the baby, who I told him, tell Ryback, give him the catchphrase.
So that
guy is actually part of NXT now.
That's so dope.
Yes. Yeah. So like, it's nice to see some people.
Caught him on the way up.
Yes. Yeah. Caught him on the way up. And then life happened and COVID happened and we hadn't had a chance to really do an away mission. And then we had kept up online, like just kind of keeping up with random stuff. And like, especially more recently with some of the art fight things that I had been doing, working with Flying V, working with Bryce Remsburg of AEW. Keith has been nothing but supportive. Like the first thing, admittedly, the adorable thing that I don't know if he intentionally did to try and give me a little like, you're one of the boys, even though I definitely am not one of the boys, was jokingly calling me brother. And I fucking ate that shit up. I was over the moon, just like waving the fucking vapors off. But he was so fucking supportive. Like the second I posted anything, second I do anything out in the world, that dude is one of the first people to like, usually comments, he'll send messages. Like, he's genuinely good people.
Yeah.
And it's weird to find somebody at random that is just good people. And this is something you and I have joked around before of like, when you find somebody like that in the wild, you try and hang on to them at least as much as you possibly can. Where it was like, you see somebody, you're like, that's a good noodle right there, as my wife would lovingly say. You got to protect the good noodles. You got to hang on to those good noodles because they can disappear. They can fall off into the ether. They can be like, they're too busy for me. And while well-intentioned, fall off your radar. You got to fucking pay attention to those people. Yeah. You got to feed that fucking relationship.
Yeah.
And this past weekend was the best example of how a little bit of effort went an incredibly long way that had us honored to spend quite possibly the most pivotal moment of their lives with them.
Yeah.
And honestly, a rather small-ish wedding. I think that's why it was twice the honor of like, we made the fucking cut.
Yeah. Cause everybody there knew someone else in that room. Except for besides the bride and the groom,
like
they knew the parents, they knew us, the relative, they knew a cousin, they were a friend of a friend of like there were more. They knew at least two other people.
Yes, yeah. There were some Kevin Bacon numbers going on through that room. You could play connect the dots with the family members and friends and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you, me, and the new administration, we knew us and we knew the two of them. And
right, the new administration. Had not met Keith, by the way. Yeah. So like she is flying double solo.
Yeah. She only like, knew us. So like,
right, yeah. Like hey guys, are we okay? We're all right.
Oh man.
Yeah. So we took the trip up. The wedding was on Friday. It was honestly not a bad drive at all from Baltimore to I think it was Norwalk, Connecticut. Where we were. It was like, I don't know, 3:45 or something like that. Only because we hit rush hour traffic in Connecticut around 3 o'clock and ended up having to do kind of the slow back end tour of Connecticut where we saw a ton of houses that we both, that all three of us wanted, but we'll never fucking afford.
We saw a house on a stream that had a little water fucking fall with a fucking water wheel.
The idea that the yards just sloped off into the stream.
Yeah.
And when I say stream, I mean, it's the width of a 2-lane, maybe even 3 or 4-lane.
It's like a river. It's a river.
Like but, road. Like it's, yeah. it's a river. Very slow moving though, because of the dam. So it yeah. created this really beautiful moment where like, as I'm sitting in a red light and I'm looking over and I'm like fantasy booking what happens when I win the lottery and decide to move to the whitest part of the country, apparently. That like, yeah. I can just randomly take my kayak out just right off the fucking backyard, just, you know, God. Hop in the water, push off the yard, and away I go into just, I assume, go get Dunkin' Donuts. Like, I don't know what the fuck.
I'd get into fly fishing. I don't know how to fish.
Yeah. No, I don't know how to tie flies,
but like, yeah. I was going to do that shit.
Yeah.
It was fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, I would just nothing but like Land's End catalogs and shit like that. Like, just, yeah.
How just, money just make LL Bean
for days. You could call me Eddie Bauer. Like, that's yeah. what's going to happen is yeah. everyone's going to start calling me Eddie. How, like, it's just.
How do we get that Spotify check, Brandon?
I think as we jokingly said, I believe that most of it is generational wealth. So yeah. I assume in Connecticut, the rule is you keep what you kill. So I think I have to kill some dude named Winston, I guess. I don't know. Sam Adams the third.
God.
No, there's probably way more of them. I don't know. Sam Adams the eighth or something like that.
Every one of those places could fit like 5 families.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Yeah. I like, please understand, I'm opening up the homestead to yeah. everyone else. Like it, yeah. it's going to be like, do you remote work? Congratulations. You just got a picturesque view.
Yeah.
Like it's going to happen. I'm going to make everyone real uncomfortable. We're going to update the Asian quota of that town 300-400% just by having you move in alone. Like
yeah.
it's just,
yeah,
I get the Malahomes in there. Fuck. It's over for y'all. It's yeah. over for y'all.
Oh,
anyway,
man.
So we end up getting in there and we look sharp. We dress right. Like Jamie and I in suits. Jamie looking dapper as fuck. Got the black on gray. Rocking the fucking gold tie. Dude looks like ZZ Top level sharp. I'm trying to bring my own flavor, right? Black suit, pins. Bright pink fucking shirt, no oh, tie, yeah. let a little oh, yeah. of hamburger meat hang out there a little bit. Just show them a little bit of what's going on. And we got it right. Wife's looking sharp as all get out, floral dress, little bit of the deep V. Like, you know, once again, just like me, show them what you're working with. Give them a little preview to show. So we go out there and the wedding is at the Maritime fucking Aquarium. They big timed us. They booked yeah. the aquarium.
Yeah.
Sharks. Turtles.
Jellies.
Jellies. I got to see a fucking like what is it? Moray eel?
A moray eel. Yeah.
Outside of like the cave where usually they're like huggled in there and yes. they're like and looking like some sort of animatronic thing. Dude, just Axl Rose in his way yeah. across the fucking water, like just shenanigans, knees, like just fucking waving his way across, and I'm like, holy shit!
It was
great.
It was magical.
Yes, and
like there's a giant tank that they took photos in front of that had like a bunch of sharks.
Yeah,
swimming around.
A bunch of sharks. Bunch of really adorable little fish that had yeah. like almost sweet dog energy where like you'd walk up to the tank and they'd ooh. Swim up and get right in your fucking face like, yeah. hey buddy, what's going on? How's it going?
The other tank had these three giant turtles.
Yes.
One of them spent most of the night with his head in a tube.
Yeah, but the other ones were like such sweet babies because they yeah. were up against the glass and getting in your face and like, I've never been that close to a sea turtle. Like yeah. the idea that like their yeah. face and he's fucking pressing face up against
hello.
Glass.
Hey, how's it going?
Like, hello. Just trying to make friends. And every time you'd go back, he'd do the same fucking thing. He'd see you coming, turn around, come back to the glass. He wanted to see you. Like, yeah. dude was super kind. So, like, that aquarium, we are spoiled by aquariums. Yeah. Like, yeah. admittedly. Yeah. I suggested this to Keith and his new wife, Daisy. By the way, quick aside, how fucking sweet is Daisy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's great. Like, when you guys like went off to, I forgot why you went up to like look at the seals or something. She came down to sit with me and just chat with about stuff. And like, we didn't expect that.
Right. You know, weddings, it's a wedding. You run around, you do 15, 20 seconds with everybody. You say hi, yada, yada, yada. It's all photos. You try and get the dance floor. Everybody tries to grab you in 15 directions. Not them. They make time for friends. Yeah. They sat down, tried to give us a little one-on-one time.
And they didn't have to do that because, like,
no,
we've been to weddings and you don't expect that. Like, no. The bride and groom, they barely eat.
Good on them for doing the pro move of getting food first, though.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
That, like, I fucking, yes. But yeah, and this is something that is a unwritten, but I'd like to put it on record as a fucking do it cast rule, that if you expect the bride and groom, or bride and bride, or groom and groom, or anywhere in between, to spend time making you feel special at their wedding, hear me now, you're an asshole.
Exactly.
No confusion.
Yeah.
And guess what? Anyone that you tell that you seem frustrated about it, if you show any frustration about it, your friends, they're not going to tell you because they're kind, good people, unlike you.
Yeah.
Think you're an asshole because guess what? You're an asshole.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how far you traveled. It's not your fucking day.
It's not your fucking thing. You are there to celebrate them, to grab potentially a couple seconds and show them, hey, we appreciate the grand gesture that you've given us to be part of such an important day. We love you. We care about you.
Yeah.
That's why we're here. Now go and enjoy yourself because we don't feel insecure about our friendship with you. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Go forth. Spend time with others. When we see you smile from across the room, I'm all smiles.
Getting misty. Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying. God, I don't know how you felt, especially having a daughter, but seeing Daisy dance with her dad, I'm like, it's the goddamn cutest thing fucking ever. Like I was no more good.
Yeah. It was adorable.
It was adorable. So like I get that part of it. So it was beautiful. Also, there was a giant seal tank where we were sitting to go to the reception area. And the smallest of the seals, by the way, he turned one this year. And his birthday was, guess what? Fucking Friday. So, aww. And here's my favorite part. It was a seal abrasion. Fuck you. Get out. Fucking come on. I am here for puns and fucking sea life. And anytime you create a Venn diagram of those two, fucking draw circles atop one another and plant me in the fucking middle like Maynard James Keenan. I am a perfect circle. Dead fucking center in that bitch.
Oh, man.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we got to hang out and do that. We had a wonderful evening hanging out with them. My wife's back, unfortunately, did not cooperate. So there wasn't much dancing to be had or anything else like that.
That's tough.
Because we were at an aquarium, we got to do stuff other than just sit at a table and watch everyone else dance and make weird predictions about all the moves that all the white women were going to do and how they got drawn in by the siren song. Yeah, of course I'm going to talk about it. Come on. How they got drawn by the siren song of some of these songs.
Man,
I tell you what, a middle-aged white woman is an easy thing to spot when it comes to what they're going to be excited about. Like it's, I say this with genuine kindness. It's not meant to be hurtful. It's not me calling anybody a Karen or anything else like that, but like it's fish in a barrel on what you're doing. Fire up Usher's and watch some fucking jangly bracelets fucking go to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Fucking bounce.
It's like, not difficult to put that playlist together.
No, it is fucking 2008 everywhere on that dance floor and nowhere the fuck else. Like that's just where he's at. Yeah. But so we experienced that and then We drove back the next morning, had a lovely breakfast at a cafe, support local business, and mm-hmm. then cannonballed our way back to Baltimore, dropped off Jamie Noguchi. He went home, hung out with the fam, everything else like that. I celebrated night one of WrestleMania.
Yes, yes.
Fell asleep during the main event.
Oh,
don't make a tag match 45 fucking minutes. It doesn't need to be that long. Dwayne.
He got a proof he still got it.
Hi, Dwayne. This is Hard Knock Media and the fucking Do It Cast, Brandon Chalmers, telling you that, bruh, you proved it. Mm-hmm. Like, you got your own energy drink. You got your own tequila. You've been star of many a film that I have sung the praises of in spite of spotty everything. Mm-hmm. And have been super... I fucking love the rundown. All right? You understand? I'm an early adopter.
That's a real fan. I'm an early adopter.
All right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But what I'm saying is, much like Christopher fucking, what the fuck? Cowbell. I'm drawing a blank. Whatever.
Chris Walken. Yeah.
And he tells Dwayne, you don't come down and go into another man's fridge. All right. You're stealing my fridge, bruh. All right? You came down. My fridge isn't but time. All right? You can't come down at the end of fucking like 4 hours of show.
Oh, yeah.
And do 45 fucking minutes of wander about the arena tag match. Like, just it don't hold my fucking attention like that. I'm sorry. It just don't.
Now, To counter this, Keith Chow, boss man, leader of the new school, head of Hard Knock Media, he had me on Hard Knock Life because he wanted to talk about WrestleMania. This is the first wrestling show he's watched in 20 years.
Oh, shit.
And he was in it for the Bloodline bullshit. So, like,
okay,
he was,
right on. He was, rightfully so. It's a great story.
He was glued to the tag match. Like, he was in it to win.
Now, to be fair, I had at least 2 to 4 bourbons at that point. So, may have had a little to do with where I was at.
Yeah.
Like, full disclosure. But also, I stand by the idea of, sober or not, 45 minutes for a tag match is a lot of fucking tag match.
Yeah, I agree.
You could have cut a lot of that off and had a very fun match and gotten the point across.
Were there,
you didn't need it.
Were there any other highlights from night one? Because the only match that I saw was the Rhea Ripley.
Three that I would take away. The Rhea Ripley Becky match was really good. Rhea's fucking entrance was a 20.
Oh god, she got the live band spot.
And she got the live band spot and right out of the gate, and she is a world beater. I worry how the fuck they're going to build anyone to be big enough to take that belt off of her.
Mm.
But whatever, that's their problem. She's fucking great. I adore her.
Yeah,
she's fucking outstanding.
She's a
fucking
powerhouse.
Becky did an incredible job of powering through, especially she had strep throat.
Yeah.
She was feeling like shit all week. She put on a really great match, and hopefully she gets some well-deserved time off, because Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Plus
so,
the book tour. God damn.
Yeah, right. And the book tour and everything else like that. Second highlight that I will put not in chronological order would be Sami Zayn winning the IC championship from Gunther. That was a really fun match and really highlighted Sami's like great kind of power through attitude. And I think if you're going to take the strap off of Gunther so this way he can become a main event player, Sami Zayn is a great guy for it, and it allows Gunther to not necessarily look back so much, because the guy who beat him gave it absolutely everything, and there's nothing undone with the length of Gunther's reign.
Yeah.
That he should need to be like, I have to go get a rematch. Like, you don't. You're good.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key takeaway from that is this lets Sammy just go forth and be real good and just run off in the distance. And that's outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a real feel-good moment. The last one would be the six-team double belt tag team ladder match, Jesus Christ, where they had both the Raw and SmackDown tag team belts hung above the ring. They had six tag teams in there.
Wow.
And like New Day was in there, what have you. The team you need to pay attention to, okay, are The Miz, which just recently his wife Maryse just got cleared from a stint of cancer and is doing really well now. So that she had a bit of a close call there, but treatment totally worked. So very happy for them. And Miz has been fucking just absolutely doing everything WWE has ever asked of him nonstop for years, and is known, to my understanding, as one of the safest workers out there, and just like a dude that has no problem playing the butt of a joke, but also being really exceptional in the ring when it comes to capitalizing on a moment. He's never been a five-star wrestler, but he is a five-star performer.
Yeah.
And that's where the
awesome
Miz girl.
Truth.
Right. And then you add in my absolute favorite WWE superstar. And I've been saying it for years. I will still continue to say it for years. When he retires, I will continue to chant it every year at the Royal Rumble. Fucking R-Truth.
Yeah.
That dude is ageless, fucking great in the ring, and has the comedy skills and mind that either he is coming up with these bits or he is just willing to trust somebody else and commits so hard. You know, when they went to Australia for the fucking show, for the big super showdown thing or everything else again, he went to Austria. He flew to Austria trying to figure out where the fuck the show was. And then when he contacted somebody and he's like, what's up, man? I'm here in Austria. Somebody go come pick me up from the airport. And they're like, Truth, it's Australia. He's like, Australia? That's my bad. That's on me. That's my bad. Like, fucking dude gets on a flight, travels to another country for a bit. Like, the fuck on.
That's
how many times have we seen him come in during the Rumble, drag a ladder in,
that
run up
amazing.
To the top of the ladder in the Rumble, go to look for the belt and get real fucking confused, and everyone else be like, Truth, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was so funny.
Like, he is king of that I got it wrong gag, and that gag will never not be funny.
Yeah.
Because Truth commits so hard to it. So much so that during this fucking six-team thing, he goes for the pin. Before the first set of belts is taken down, he goes for the pin and gets it clean. And he pins on his own. He scoops him up. 1, 2, 3. And the crowd just fucking pops. And he pops up like, I won the belts. And like, I don't even think it was Miz. I think it was just somebody else was like, Truth. Points up and he goes, that's my bad. That's on me. I'm sorry. That's my bad.
I gotta watch this. I gotta go back and watch this.
Memory serves, looks down at the dude he pins and apologizes and then goes and gets a fucking ladder. Like,
amazing.
He's fucking great. Now, they end up giving the SmackDown titles to Grayson Waller, who is fucking exceptional, and A-Town Austin Theory, who sucks. But whatever, they need the belt to go and give them a bit of a rub on SmackDown. So they take titles, they go, they confirm them. I thought they kind of fucked up, but apparently they got involved again very briefly. Miz and Truth manage, and Truth especially, who's the one who gets the title, manage to win the other titles. And then Michael Cole says something that I had not done the math on, which is, this is the first time that R-Truth had a WrestleMania win.
Wow.
And the idea of that dude doing so much thankless fucking work.
Yeah.
For what feels like 2 decades in fucking WWE.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Like, I seem to remember him taking on John Cena in like 06. Mm-hmm. Like, dude has been there.
Yeah.
Not winning until then, one, is a fucking, like, how dare you? But also, he needed that moment. And him getting it, and the crowd going over, and Miz absolutely celebrating him, and the crowd just fucking celebrating him. And it was like, fucking good. And I literally said out loud, I don't care about the rest of the night. I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, and this is match like 2 of the night.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun.
That would not have happened if Fucker was still in charge.
I don't know. Because to be fair, my understanding was that Vince fucking loved R-Truth, and that's why he had a job for so fucking long. Because R-Truth was somebody who genuinely could make Vince laugh. Now, whether or not he put a title on him, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like eventually somebody would be like, we should probably put a strap on R-Truth. Like, we can give him the tag belt. And Vince would be like, eh, whatever. And, right, yeah. So, like, I do think that's a possibility. But the idea of Vince going and him finally getting that, fucking good on you. If it was Paul, fucking good on him. Because it needed to happen.
Yeah.
That dude has worked for it, continues to work for it, and I look forward to seeing how long and how fucking wild and dumb their tag team title reign's gonna be.
It's gonna be good.
It's gonna be so much fun. I'm fucking stoked. I'm gonna be sad if they immediately pull the straps off of them. They may do that, but I don't think they need to. Let them have some fucking fun. Yeah. You want to build up some fucking heels? Let somebody be a dickhead and hurt R-Truth and watch the fucking crowd turn on them.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, and that'll be natural heat.
Yeah, totally natural heat. Look forward to the Authors of Pain beating them in 2 weeks. anyway,
all right. So that's night one.
That's night one.
Night two, I was able to actually join.
Yes.
I brought ramen.
I did bring ramen.
I did not know that Brandon has never had fancy ramen before.
Now, to be fair, I did have fancy ramen at a place in New York once during the Charm City Shinobi Dan Malahome's bachelor party. We went to a place called Shinobi Ramen. But to be fair, I didn't have any memory of that. So you can tell, like, other than going, there was nothing about the meal that I was like, fuck, I got to do that again.
Ninja.
I did it, and I went, yep, it sure is.
Ramen.
And then move the fuck on. So, Jamie Noguchi, he brings the thunder. He brings the proper fucking ramen. Dude brings the veggies. Dude brings the fucking the wontons or the gyoza in a bag. Gyoza,
yeah.
So
the worst pickles too. I brought the worst pickles. I'm sorry.
They were not great pickles. That is not on you. No apology necessary. No. You didn't know. It wasn't. You weren't like, these are my favorite pickles. Yeah. And then I choked down a couple of them and be like, they're real good. And you'd be like, you want to leave them? And you're like, no thanks, man. You like them. They're good. Both of us were like, these pickles are a little janky.
Yeah.
Like, just someone right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you brought the wonton, you brought the veggies, you brought the seaweed, you fucking made, is it chashu?
Chashu, yeah.
So Jamie fucking, like, settles in. He gets done doing the road trip with us on Saturday and just starts making fucking food. Like, here I was patting myself on the back. I went out to Target. I made a quick Target run. Jamie Noguchi's fucking hand rubbing pork and shit, fucking just giving it the good love, frying it all up, making sure we're eating real good. It's Applebee's level good in the neighborhood level fucking Josh. Like, just it's fucking tasty. And then he gets it in the rum, and I was not prepared for the melty fat kind of thing of getting into the
you gotta
remember, man. I've done the Korean barbecue thing. I've done the hot pot thing. Now, like, on the plus side, I do feel like I am willing to jump both feet into damn near everything
for sure.
It comes to, like, hey, have you had? Would you like to try? I'm like, fuck it, let's try everything. You were like, do you want the veggies? We're like, fuck it, however you want it, however you eat it, I'll have it. Let's try everything. Fuck it, get into it. So you made some ramen eggs. Like, you went hard for us.
Yeah.
So we dig in and we start to eat. And there's I don't specifically remember all of the matches from that from that evening. I remember we took the break during what I believe was the tag match.
Right.
Or sorry, the six man that was there where
we were going to skip it, but then we heard
we were going to skip it.
Yeah. But right. Then we heard that one, Snoop was on commentary.
Snoop Dogg on commentary. Oh my God.
And two, Bubba was going to be the special ref. So, you know, tables were going to be gotten.
Absolutely.
My brother.
Yes. So we made food, put the whole fucking pay-per-view on pause, dipped back in. Watch that match. Snoop Dogg on commentary needs to always be on commentary.
12 out of 10. Like, yeah,
absolutely. 15 out of 10. I'll continue to go up if you let me. Like, yeah. I will never, ever. I don't know if there's anything I watch with Snoop Dogg that I've been like, Snoop sucked in that. Like, yeah. Other things can be bad. Other things can be noticeably bad. There can be movies. Soul Plane. A movie that is very much not designed for me. And I watch it and I was like, some of the jokes feel real fucking forced. Snoop Dogg was a lot of fun. Like, it's just, there are some things that I'm like, okay, even if they're not made for me, fucking Snoop Dogg's a goddamn 12.
He's so smooth. Oh, like, just smooth like butter. Like,
yes, yeah. Fucking like the sort of shit that Anthony Bourdain used to jerk off to, like that fucking Normandy butter, that fucking smooth French ass shit,
yeah.
The salted shit, the thing that you just experienced, Jamie, yeah. While you were in fucking France.
He's not lying, man.
Like, that's just it. It's Snoop Dogg on a baguette is really what it is. Like, it's yeah. just it yeah. really is. Like, it's creamy, it's satisfying, it's rich, it's a little salty because he's got a little bit of going on in there.
Yeah.
But it's not overpowering. He doesn't need to oversell.
No.
He doesn't. He just genuinely reacts.
And he doesn't do the annoying thing of like, oh, finish this and blah, 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 and overcalling it.
He sees what's
going on, and he tells you that he sees what's going on.
I would argue that his performance during that was very, very similar in my heart and mind to the old school one where they brought out Baltimore Colt Art Donovan, where I don't know if you remember this, but he was the guy who would see somebody and go, oh, who's this guy? How much does he weigh? And not understand that it's a wrestling match and continue to just interject like somebody's real, real lost uncle. Like, like Snoop's watching a whole other thing. He doesn't care about the commentary.
No.
He ain't worried about what else is going on. No. Snoop's just reacting,
yeah,
right.
So like, great.
So like, B-Fab catches a fucking boot to the face, and he's like, "Watch out, girl, she got heels." And I was like, "God damn it!"
It was so good. Like,
just it was so fucking good.
It's so good.
Yeah, yeah. So more Snoop Dogg in absolutely everything. Match was like a 4, but Snoop Dogg's a 15. So yeah. Like, I guess it makes it an 8.5.
And there were tables.
And there were tables.
Bubba hit the people in the shoulders.
Yes.
They did table botch, and then they unbotched it, and they recovered. And
because Montez Ford is fucking amazing, and he refuses to botch anything.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, yeah. So that was a ton of fun. We skipped the LA night and Flat Earth AJ Styles.
Oh, that's match. Right. We did skip over that one.
Yeah,
that
we don't give a shit about that.
The Drew match with
Seth Rollins.
Yeah, yeah. Crossfire.
And watching that was super good.
I loved that he got that moment, even though it was short-lived. But I loved that he got that moment because I remember when he got the table, the title in front of all those computer monitors.
Yeah.
And it
felt
bullshit.
Real fucking hollow, but like, somebody needed that title, and good on him. Yes, he got to have his moment. And then he went down, and I guess at this point now, spoiler tag, kids, we're going to talk about Mania.
Oh, yeah.
he went down, and he gloated in front of CM Punk, and then CM Punk ripped off the cast. I don't know if Punk's actually faking the injury, don't really give a shit, whatever. He gives Drew an old waffle stomping, and then a term that I didn't realize until after Mania was done, bisexual Undertaker Damian Priest comes down. Because that was apparently a trending hashtag after Damian Priest won was bisexual Undertaker.
So good.
Yes. Comes down, cashes in the Money in the Bank contract, and beats Drew for the 1-2-3, and is now your new WWE champion.
That's funny as shit.
That was a ton of fun.
That was funny as shit.
It's a great stopgap in between when Punk comes back, so this way he can go take on Drew. Like, it's just, it works out. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So, I fear what is going on upstairs. I believe the wife is in the shower and the dogs are running loose. So anyway, I just hear rumbling across the floor above me. So like, I'm just waiting to hear a crash. Cause all I can think is, okay, so the kitchen is like up here, right? So the back door is like there ish. So what the fuck are they doing? And what's right. Yeah. So I'm like, how do I hear Paul Prunes above me? Cause to my understanding, this is the side of the house. So like, that I shouldn't hear. There's counters above me. Why do I hear Paul Prince above my head? Anyway, so yeah, so that happened, and then the Bailey and Io Sky match. I think it was solid. It was solid. I don't fucking understand Bailey's ring gear and the pyramid thing and everything else like that.
But yeah.
So whatever. Like, it looked good.
She got the cosplay spot.
Yeah, she got the cosplay spot. Like, I couldn't tell if this was like a throwback to Overwatch with that one lady, the one who flies.
Farrah or something like that.
Maybe. I don't remember her name.
Yeah.
Either way, like, it definitely wasn't that. But yeah, anyway, so that was that. Yeah, like I said, I think it was a good match. There was nothing about it that I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, yeah.
It was solid.
It was solid. I'm happy that Bailey won. Good for them. That's awesome. What else? Are we to the main event at this point now?
Nah, there was the Logan Paul.
Can we power through this pretty quick?
Yeah. When I saw Owens, KO and Orton hamming it up. In the intro and the entrance,
that was fun.
I turned to you and I was like, they're going to put his ass over, aren't they?
Yeah.
But they beat the shit out of him because he had that hamburger meat on his arm.
Owens and Orton, right from the beginning, Owens mocking the entrance and then putting Randy Orton on the back of a golf cart. Like, they had some fun fucking energy together. They would make a great tag team.
Yeah. Yeah. They were great.
Like, just the two of them just having a lot of fun together would be fucking great.
The part where KO slammed Logan Paul into the table and then Orton was like, no, you got to more lift.
Right. You got to lift with your back. Lift. Yeah. You gotta,
here, let me show you. And then he did. Right.
And then just tosses him into the air and then fucking drops it. And just watching KO be like, no, I got it. I understand. Yes. Like, they have great chemistry together. So I do hope we get a little more fun with that. They don't necessarily have to be a tag team together, but like, if we could have some more fun with them randomly, I'm super fucking here for it. That was
hysterical.
Yeah. They had a lot of really fun chemistry together. So
that would be, an awesome, rumble spot too. Like, if the two of them were just like knocking people out.
I could see that, but like, genuinely, I think you make them a fun tag team that frankly they could just randomly tag team together.
Yeah.
And then just separate. And I hope it's just one of those that they never ever turn on each other.
Yeah.
It's always just a mutual understanding of like, did that guy fucking do the thing? Cause we had the moment where like Logan pushes KO into Randy.
Yeah.
And there being a moment where like they had a stare down. And him, like, Randy looking at KO and go, he pushed you into me, didn't he? And be like, yes, he fucking did. And be like, that is absolutely uncalled for. And then both of them turning around and kicking the shit. Like, so the idea of the two of them basically like doing the mutual respect society where it's like, I'm going to assume good intent.
Yeah.
Because you're a good boy.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't turn on me like that.
You're a good
Eddie. I know you wouldn't. Yeah. You're a good boy. Like, I respect you. I watched you in the indies. You watched me while you were growing up on the indies. We both appreciate each other's effort.
Yeah. I liked that.
Honestly,
I really
if you could
that.
Just name the team, I appreciate you. Or the Mutual Appreciation Society or something like that. Like one of those little like fuck you, Chris Jericho, where you call it a society at the end, just so this way he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that. That was the best part of that match, actually.
That was a lot of fun. Logan Paul continues to be an incredibly impressive athlete and an absolute piece of shit. And I hope he fucking dies of cancer of the eyes of the anus.
Yeah.
Like just, I hope he gets tackled somewhere in the street and some crazy fucking like absolute just loon of a human, a werewolf.
Yes.
Just goes and just fucking bites him. And then he has to be a creature of the night. And I never have to see a prime bottle again.
Please.
Like just nothing would make me happier.
Fuck. God damn.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think we're at the main event.
I think we are at the main event.
What are the fucking bloodline rules? Brandon, they didn't explain it. They didn't explain it.
They never explained it.
Never.
They never explained the bloodline
never
rules.
Never explained that, it. Cole
they
never
have to
explained
explain it.
It.
They, it's what the bloodline wants. That's because the bloodline rules. Do you get what I'm getting at here? Do you pick up what I'm putting down? Huh? Do you understand it? Did you see what I put in the sauce there? All right. Yeah. I dropped the bay leaf in. Don't eat that shit. All right. Don't eat it.
Yeah.
It's going to float around in there. Be a little Where's Waldo in the sauce. Don't eat it.
I don't know if it was the ramen sweats or if it was that, like, it was the end of the night.
It was the end of the night.
But it was tough. It was tough.
It was tough. It was tough. And like, it was fun and it was good, but also like, I think we waited 15 minutes too long to start the bloodline rules of the bloodline rules. Uh-huh. 'Cause like for a while there, we were like, Jesus Christ, when are there going to be run-ins? You threatened it. You talked about it. You won an entire match with it. Fucking where are they? Why aren't they showing up? Why are we being subtle about it?
Half hour.
What?
45 minutes. Yeah.
I don't know how long it is. It felt like a fucking hour. It was probably like 12 minutes for all I fucking know. Anyway, but the point being is
it took a long time.
They finally show up. Uso finally shows up. Then the other Uso takes out the other Uso. Okay, cool. Great.
Off the ramp. That was
off
a good spot.
Off the ramp into the padded table spot. Great. Okay, cool. Great. That's fine. Oh, that was the match I fucking missed the first night because it was so goddamn disappointing. It was Uso versus Uso, and it was boring as fuck. And it makes me sad that it was boring as fuck.
Yeah.
Because it was such a pivotal moment for the two of them as people.
Yeah.
And I appreciate – I'm going to take a quick pause here. I appreciate the Usos as performers separately. I have genuinely loved watching them come up through everything and compete. The Bloodline story has been fucking great.
They've grown a lot.
I wanted them to have such a barn burner match. And what I got was essentially a long segment of, I don't want to do this to you, bro. Aww. And the lead-in video should not be more exciting than the match. But literally when they did the whole backstory of the two of them, and they got the two of them in a darkened room and they got the lights down on the two of them from the overhead. And the one goes, I am. And the other one goes, my brother's keeper. And then they start talking about all the backstory. And then they finally get to the last shot and they says, I'm not. And the other one says, my brother's keeper. And then that's when we fucking start the match. And I'm like, fuck yes.
Yeah.
And then I get, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes of like, and I know they're capable of more.
Yeah.
I don't know why it went like that. But it was genuinely disappointing.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they got to have an actual fun spot and be exciting together.
That was a great spot too.
All weekend. Yeah. 'Cause it was a great spot. And that spot did not reflect their fucking match. I can tell you right now, you got the best of the Usos all weekend. 'Cause
I was like,
that much.
Man, they
you were not
that
missing
shit.
Anything. Not missing a thing. And then Solo Sikoa showed up, and then John Cena showed up, and then John Cena's bald spot showed up, which, like, Jesus Christ, John. Like, you can keep combing that thing back, but that bad boy's getting longer, and genuinely, I say this with love. One of two things. Shave it. Accept it. Or hair plugs, and just own it.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, guys, I have a lot of other movies that I want to start doing. I would like to keep my hair. I know it might be embarrassing for some people, but I did this. And I shaved hair off my ass and put it on my head and I filled it in that spot. Like, whatever you got to do, man.
Yeah.
Like, balding happens. There's no reason to be embarrassed about it. But doing this big fucking, like, earnest, scared, stupid fucking comb over you got going on right now is real fucking suspect. Because, like, also, the longer that hair gets, the more he looks like Ernest.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Like if he looked in the camera and like, hey, Vern. And literally did the thing, I'd have trouble. Like if you just did a tight face shot.
Yeah.
Like I need to see them fucking like the forearms to be able to understand that's John Cena.
Yeah.
Hang on. We could do a new Ernest series. Cena just pulling, just he's great with comedy.
Yeah,
just let him fucking dig into it. Just a shot for shot remake of all of the fucking Ernest movies. Just don't even pretend with it.
God, that's a long career too, because they're like,
that's what I'm saying.
Eight of them shits or
right,
something.
That's what I'm saying. Direct a video of them motherfuckers. Get serious about it. Put the fucking hat on. Put the fishing vest on. Like, five knuckles shuffle, baby. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, you can do that thing.
So Rock came in after Cena, right?
Yes. You're right. And then Rock knocks out Cena. And then
the bottom.
Right. Rock bottom. It was very clean rock bottom. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And then my least favorite part of the night, which I was fucking hoping for Stone Cold. What I got is the Trump ass Undertaker. And fuck, could I not care less.
In a hoodie.
That's how Taker rolls now.
Oh, is it?
We're back into the American Badass version of Taker, but like kind of not really.
No, because he didn't have the dumb bandana.
But he kind of did.
Oh, did he have a bandana?
I think he had like a do-rag or a bandana or something going on, or a skull cap maybe. I think maybe he had a beanie or something like that on. Like, it just he was... clearly under the ring the whole time and dressed to be under the ring the whole time.
But then he doesn't get the gong. If he's going to come out in the dumb beanie, he gets moving in, moving out.
I understand.
Up, down,
and
up, down.
I want him to come down to Limp Bizkit's Rollin'. Or I even accept a Kid Rock-ass American Badass.
Yeah.
But no. We got to be nostalgic again.
The Shield run in. Seth Rollins
doing the Shield run in very briefly. The only thing that I'll say to this is it does speak to the psychological idea that Seth Rollins as the Shield can completely distract Roman from anything else going on because he is so hell bent on trying to right the wrong of that one moment when Seth turned on Dean in front of Roman.
Yeah.
That was subtle and psychological, but also over in a fucking heartbeat.
Yeah.
Like before we even realized what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
Seth's on the ground and it was like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. The camera missed it. Like we didn't see Seth pop in the ring at all. We didn't see him run through the crowd.
Yeah. So, you know, whatevs. But Cody won. Cody finished the story. Three crossroads later, he's the champ. There is one story. There was a really long fucking celebration thing. It was good.
Yeah.
It was genuinely good.
Yeah.
What I want to jump to is something that happened afterward, a story that I had seen that apparently way back in the day, the American Dream Dusty Rhodes, baby, he had a gold watch that he did the Hard Time Daddy promo about. And Cody asked when he was a kid, Dad, when can I have your watch? And he told Cody supposedly, when you win the world title, I'll give you my watch.
Oh, man.
So, smash cut to years later. Dusty passes. Cody is going through Dusty's stuff, and Cody is looking for the watch. Cody asks his mom about the watch. Cody's mom explains that Dusty sold the watch to pay for acting classes for Cody and his sister, so this way Cody could further his career.
Oh.
The watch is gone to the ether. Until the long arm of the WWE WWE CEO Nick Khan and Triple H band together.
Oh my
God. They search across the internet cosmos and they track down Dusty's fucking watch with the engraving and everything. And between when when Cody went back and got a shower and the press conference, Triple H pulls him aside and gives him the watch. And Cody sits down and he's emotional and explains the story of the gold watch. And Cody has his dad's gold watch that he thought he was going to have and then got thought that was lost to the world.
He'd
never see again. They use their dumb money to track down something that should have been lost to the world and give Cody genuinely the best part, I think, of the night.
Dude.
A moment where he got to have a real, not just a like on-screen connection with his dad, but a real connection with his dad. And I think it speaks to both Triple H's kindness, because remember, Cody is the one who destroyed the throne that looked like all Triple H's bullshit.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of heat there.
Yeah.
Was able to put all that aside, put Cody in a position that he rightfully earned to be the star of WWE, and then honor his dad, who everyone fucking loved, in such a genuine way to show the respect to both Dusty and Cody.
Come on.
That is the best definition of something that Triple H had said, and Stephanie came out in night two and said, this is a new era.
Yeah.
If we get more genuine good shit like that, fuck yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because that definitely would not have happened.
No, it would not. It would not have happened.
Yeah. Stardust, he would have been gone and he wouldn't have come back.
Like, yep. Yeah, it was a real moment. Like I heard that story the next morning watching TV.
Oh God!
And I was like, I literally paused and I was like, that is some good shit.
Yeah,
like I never expected a feel good moment from wrestling, and I had a feel good moment post wrestling for fucking once.
That's so. Ugh. That's the best story. That's the best story to come out of all of this, man. Jesus Christ.
Yep. So that was WrestleMania.
That was Mania.
Should go back and watch it. Download Peacock. Use the code fucking do it for no percent off.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen. but fucking do it anyway. Like, just throw them off.
Yeah.
Fuck with the algorithm. Make them confused. Make some underling Google us.
Brandon, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at that guy Chalmers Jamie Noguchi. Where can they find the Hard Knock Media Podcast presents the fucking Do a Cast, part of the Hard Knock Media Podcasting Network. Now, when I say Hard Knock Media, I mean NOC as in Nerds of Color. I mean Jamie, not me. I mean the podcast network, not me. I mean talking about all sorts of dumb shit, including the American Dream Dusty Rhodes, baby, and not me. And you can find us at Hard Knock Media, and you can find Jamie Noguchi where? Think I'm gonna fucking miss my intro. Fuck you. You thought you were gonna get through it without us doing an intro, didn't you? Yeah, you did. I hope you put the fucking bumper on the end and then hit it again.
You can find me wherever finer podcasts are sold. Instagram, Jamie Noguchi, yep. Draw Jam on YouTube, monstercutie.com is my shop. Buy some shit. And wrestling can be good, actually.
Wrestling can and is good.
Yep.
All wrestling, by the way.
Yep.
Don't be one of these fucking schlubs who picks one over the other. Watch all of it. It's all fucking good.
Yeah.
It genuinely is.
Yeah.
Quit being a dickhead.
Yeah.
You dickhead. Yeah, I bet that. Put that in the fucking bumper. Batman,